Hey everyone, this is John.
This is Wes.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the Super Nintendo Show, even.
Oh my god.
And like the name implies, this is the episode where we talk just about Super Nintendo games.
Does that mean it's super the fun?
Yes, that's exactly what it means.
Oh my god.
We are going to have a ton of guests coming on. We're going to make things super awkward for them.
Ryan Stiles coming back?
No, actually. he's never coming back. We totally destroyed the experience for him. That's okay. We are actually having zero guests. But you're here, which is great. Last show, we had some baby difficulties, and I talked about that during the mid-show edit. But you're back, which is good. Because recording by myself was real boring and real sad. I cry at the end, but I cut that part out.
When didn't you record by yourself?
The mini show. Remember, because we started talking about Metroid Prime 3? And then I had a few other games to talk about, so I just went ahead and knocked those out. But, you know, we had 20 minutes of a good show and 40 minutes of a sad show, just me talking about myself.
Oh.
That's okay. So, on the Super Nintendo show, we kind of discussed games semi-chronologically as they came out 21 years ago. We are up to March of 1994, and I just check my general guideline for future podcasts. There was
I
one
like
game.
How you pre-prepped this before the show,
right?
So
yeah, we're
it was on air.
We are
making us look so professional.
We are shooting entirely from the hip. We are Wessing throughout the entire show because
you betcha we're doing this
because I did not prepare any notes for Super Metroid.
Oh my god, you don't have your little book here?
Sure don't.
No,
we got nothing. The game that kind of came out chronologically speaking in this corresponding month that we should be talking about is Equinox, which is a game I have not played, so I might check out a ROM for that one at some point in the future, because in May and July there's nothing really noteworthy coming out, so keeping that one in the bank. Instead, we're talking about Super Metroid, which came out 21 years ago in April in North America. So it's a game that I think merits, you know, it's its own show, even though we won't be talking about it for very long. In case you are curious, as Wes is looking at the future show notes.
Oh my god.
In April, we probably will be talking about a game called Knights of the Round, as well as Mega Man Soccer.
Oh my god.
And again, I'll probably have to find ROMs for both of them, because I don't know what it is about Super Nintendo games, but the prices for them, just over the past few weeks, shot up. So there you can get, or last month, you could have gotten a cartridge for Super Metroid for $40. Not cheap.
No.
You know, it's a classic game. It is a game that is probably highly desired. It's also a game that is available on several download services, including the Wii U, which is how we were just playing it. But the last time I checked it, a day or two ago, it shot up to $60 for a used copy on Amazon, which is crazy.
Yeah, used copy of Mega Man Soccer, $42.
Yeah, that's way too much for a game I've never played.
No. This guy's asking $200 for a used very good.
That's absurd. I hope he
never gets $4 shipping. I mean, for $200, I hope I'm at least getting free shipping.
Throw in the shipping.
Throw in the shipping for $200.
For a game that you probably got for $5 at Funko Land 20 years ago.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that's absurd.
Throw in the shipping.
So, Super Metroid is the game we are going to be talking about. And actually, before the show, while we were playing, because we played for a couple hours. We put in a couple hours of the game before we decided to start recording. And we were talking about the formula for Metroid games in general. And I think the conceived notion about Metroid games is that you start off, you have all of these abilities, you get them all taken away from you, and then you have to slowly start finding them all again and get back to where you were at the beginning of the game, and usually even more powerful than you were at the beginning of the game. But as we were discussing it, we couldn't really think of more than a couple of Metroid games that actually do that. If we go through this chronologically, by release date, Metroid 1 for the NES, you start with nothing and you have to go gain all these different powers. You don't get them stripped away from you. Metroid 2, Return of Samus, same way. Metroid 3, which is Super Metroid, same thing. There is no catastrophic event that takes away all of your powers.
You just got nothing.
Yeah, you do start in this space station, and you have to go to this room and fight Ridley for a little bit, but it's not like you lose that fight and lose all your powers. When you go into that fight, you can't do anything except jump and shoot. You don't have your morph ball, your charge up shot, any of your basic stuff like that. Metroid Fusion. Now, Metroid Fusion, I can't remember. I can't remember if there's a section at the beginning of the game. It's been a long time since I played that one, where you have all these different powers and then get infested by the parasite, but I don't think so. I think you just start off infested by the parasite and you don't have any of your powers. I guess you can like kind of count that as like a loose yes, because maybe you had your powers before you got infested, but it's not like you were like having to do actual gameplay with like your charge up shot and all that and then get it taken away from you. As soon as you start gameplay, you don't have any of that. Metroid Prime, I think, is the first example that's a definite yes. You go through a section of the game with like your morph ball and your charge up shot and your missiles and all that, and then you get them all taken away from you and have to start from scratch with nothing but like a
jumping shot. Yeah, like space station thing you do it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. The tutorial section of the game where they're teaching you like how to lock on and stuff like that. Metroid Prime 2 Echoes, again, that's another one I don't remember. I don't remember if you start off with powers and then get them stripped away. I don't know. That might be a yes. But so far, there's one definite yes. Corruption, I talked about in the last show, the mini show, that is not a game where you get power stripped away. They just let you keep everything and then just add on to it as you go. And Other M. Other M's the other definite yes, where you start off with these abilities and then they're like, no, go ahead and don't use those things that might save your life in this space station. Go ahead and turn those off. Which was silly.
Yeah.
But that's the way it was. Yeah. But those are the main Metroid games. Like Metroid Prime Hunters, I have no fucking clue.
Nah, who cares? I played it once. It's terrible.
Yeah, that was
absolutely terrible.
Not very good. But yeah, it's weird that there's that kind of idea about Metroid games, like this notion of how they are generally structured. But there, we only have two definite yeses where that's actually how they are. So. And it like...
Who says they're structured that way, John?
Oh, just other podcasts I listen to, people who review games, people who write about games. It's generally the idea that Metroid games start you off with this set of skills and then strips them away from you.
Okay.
Anyway.
I thought you were just pulling things out of your ass.
No, this was actually a thing. And it was actually a thing. And I was thinking about it before we even started discussing it when we were playing Super Metroid. I was like, well, you know, people think that about Metroid, but is it actually true? And it's the same thing with, like, Mario games. How people will always say, oh, every Mario game's the same. The princess gets kidnapped and you have to go rescue her. Well, is it true about all of them, though?
Most of them.
Quite a few of them. Mostly the more modern ones, though.
Yes.
Older Mario games, that's not the case hardly ever. Anyway. Neither here nor there. Like Mario 64, that was the game that just kind of started. Like, hey, the princess is captured every time. Although she's not captured in Mario Sunshine, I don't think. Anyway, that's a side note that we can take another time.
I never played Sunshine.
In Super Mario 3D World, the newest one, she is not kidnapped. You can play as her.
And what's the job? What are you trying to do?
I don't know. There's like little
things. Do you like make fun of your mom or something like that? Be like, oh, we gotta fuck that guy up now.
Mario's not a mom. He's a mushroom. He grew out of the ground. That's canon. It's not.
I was about to say, what?
No, in Super
he's
Mario...
He's Italian. Of course he's got a mother who's constantly angry and...
Probably hairy.
She pretty much has a mustache herself.
Very loud,
makes really big dinners.
I understand, yes.
Oh, stereotypes.
I'm glad that we got our racist remarks out of the way for this show.
Oh, there'll be more, don't worry.
Okay, looking forward to it. But anyway... One of the other things that is just kind of like the general conception of Metroid games is that you're thrown into this world and there are like different areas that are blocked off, and as you gain more powers, you're able to access those different areas. You have to backtrack to places in order to progress to the next section that you're supposed to go into the game. And generally that's true, and Super Metroid was the game that kind of established that sort of formula to a Metroid game, but as we were just playing through it, we played through it for a couple hours, it's fairly linear the way that, the beginning of the game, the way that you are moving through and grabbing your power-ups. Pretty much, you don't have to do too much backtracking to areas you've been before unless you're looking for power-ups. So there's a really fluid forward progression to the game, and not a whole lot of like, okay, well, I have to go back through this area that I had been to before in order to access this one door, and that door's got another power up, which allows me to go back to where I was the first time and use that power up on a new in a spot to where I can get to a new area in this previously visited area. It's a lot more of just you advance to a new area. Somewhere in that area is a power up, which will allow you to move past it. And there are a couple of places where, while we were playing through, I backtracked because I forgot what I was supposed to do next. Okay, well, maybe I have to backtrack to go to an older area to find a power up in order to keep moving on. But invariably, like the two or three times that I did that, it was like, oh, no, I actually can't backtrack to where I was before. I need to be able to jump higher, or I need to be able to freeze the little dudes that are moving back and forth so I can use them as stepping stones to get past them. So the game is a lot more linear than I think that people remember, which it's not to say that's a bad thing.
No.
It's pretty user-friendly in that way, which is, I think, a good thing for the game, because there are a lot of areas where you go into a room and say, okay, what the fuck is this room for? And you find yourself like shooting at walls and shooting missiles at things just to see if there's anything you can do in there. And there's a lot of like those hidden breakable walls, whether it's like your speed boost or your super bombs and things like that, to where the way you progress is actually just by shooting walls and figuring out which power up you need to break through the walls. Sometimes that can be frustrating because maybe you don't hit the right spot exactly the first time, and you go kind of like wandering around thinking, how do I get to the next area?
Yeah, something like that, like early on, you're wandering around aimlessly on the bottom floor,
mm-hmm.
and it was just like a little hole in the top one.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, there's a place also early on, maybe this is the one you were thinking about, maybe it wasn't, but there's a place early on where you have to actually jump up and shoot below you in order to fall through the floor. And it is something that is a little bit confusing if you're not aware that you should be doing that. But I it shouldn't have confused me at all, because I should have been aware that I could do that, because I think the door to enter a room, two rooms before that one, is one where you actually have to shoot a door below you.
Yeah.
So the game is like, hey, guess what? You can shoot below you and open things. And then two rooms later is like, hey, remember that thing you just did a minute ago? You're supposed to do it again. So should have used my brain. What are your general impressions of the game? What do you think of like the art style? And visually speaking, what do you think?
I mean, it's not bad.
Sure.
I mean, it's a Super Nintendo, so I mean,
yeah.
It's a visually about Super Nintendo game.
It's not a visual stunner by today's standard by any means. But I think when you compare it to other Super Nintendo games, it does have some really nice-looking assets to it. It's got some nice character designs. It's got some nice-looking...
Yeah, that seahorse with the legs kind of was a little weird.
Yeah, that was a little bit weird.
Oh, yeah.
And he just pops up out of the ground.
Yeah.
Seahorses do not live underground, nor do they have legs.
Yeah, or shoot fire out of their mouth. It's just weird.
They are aliens, and, you know, in the infiniteness... Is that a word? Infiniteness? Infiniticity? I don't know. And in the infiniteness that is the universe, if you can think of it, it probably does exist somewhere.
Okay, sure.
Thanks for just going along with that one. But you know, me and Ryan, last month, we talked about a game, Captain America and the Avengers, which looks like total butt. So there is a pretty big disparity between games that are nice looking and well designed on the Super Nintendo and games that are not. And I feel like that disparity doesn't really exist so much anymore. Just because, you know, if people are going for that sort of 16-bit art style, like an independent game, you know what you're doing, so you don't think, hey, this looks like butt. Like, no, they're trying to emulate a certain style. And otherwise, unless it's an independent game, it's probably a huge budget, sort of like AAA kind of game where they're putting a lot of effort into the graphics and the visuals and all that. So, yeah, it's got a really great atmosphere. I think one of the really memorable things about Super Metroid is a lot of like the moments, like moments of discovery. Like there's a part where there's a glass tube And we ran through it a couple of times. And if you go through there and drop a super bomb, it cracks open and you're able to access a whole other area to the map that you weren't able to get to before. Sometimes when I'm playing Super Metroid, I wonder if there are certain things that I can skip, like certain power-ups that I don't necessarily have to get, but I have yet to come across one. I think that maybe you might be able to skip the charge beam. I can't think of a particular reason why you need to have a charge beam throughout the entire game. No, but
it's just plain helpful.
Sure, I'm not suggesting
that. It's not like it's way out of the way.
Right. Right, and yeah, it's not something that I would ever skip just because, you know, it is super useful and I do like to collect everything in games. So it's
one thing that you pointed out early in the game was they really right from the get-go, they really don't hesitate on giving you power-ups.
Yeah, they sure don't. One
right after another.
Yeah. And there's a plenty of places where you can just farm. Oh, you were talking about
like suit upgrades. Yeah, sure. Oh yeah, they just give you a bunch of stuff right out of the beginning.
Yeah, we played for 2 hours and we got the fast running boots. We got the high jump. We got the ice beam. They hit you with a lot of power ups really quick. We were up to like 40 or 45 missiles, 2 or 3 energy tanks. Yeah, they hit you hard and fast with all these different things too. To keep you really upgraded. And that the game it's not super long. I think my previous save file that's also on my Wii U is my friend Jimmy, we played through the game and it took us like 9 hours. We didn't like collect everything, but we beat the final boss at the 9 hour mark. So not super long. Most Metroid games tend not to be. My completion time for Metroid Prime that I finished off a couple of months ago, about 13 hours. Metroid Prime 3, I'm probably clocked in about 10 hours right now, about 70% through the game. So the games tend not to be super long. They're nice, brisk experiences. They do have really good exploration to them, really rewarding to go back and look at places that you've already been. If you have new power-ups, there's almost always stuff that you can find. One thing that Super Metroid does is they really, really hide the power-ups really well. I think the only other game that kind of rivals Super Metroid in terms of really hard power-ups to find, like your energy tanks and your missile upgrades, is Fusion. Because they put them like into walls that you can only destroy with certain weapons and just into really obtuse places. Whereas, you know, Metroid 3, which I'm playing through right now, Metroid Prime 3, you can just launch those satellites and it tells you, hey, this is where all your shit is, come get it. So it's one of the things about the game that I think at the time it was just meant to sort of increase the amount that you could put into it, like the amount of time you would play with it. But then that was also a time where maybe you weren't buying a game or two a month. You were buying one game and it would last you several months. So you want to get as much out of it as possible. But yeah, replaying through it now, searching for all the power-ups seems like it would be a pain in the butt. Because you gotta get that x-ray visor and scan around every room. It's kind of the equivalent to trying to scan every enemy and story piece in the Prime games. Walk into every room, look around with just your scan visor. If there's enemies, you gotta kill them first, then you poke around the room,
then you gotta move scan them around, and then kill them.
Scan them, then kill them. Yes, of course, you gotta get that 100%. And it's like the opposite of fun. It really is like a chore. Like, hey, here's this other thing you can do, but it really slows down the game. So
it's like studying for a test in high school, and then surprise, surprise, the teacher didn't put any of that crap on the test.
Yeah, sure, because you're not required to know the story to be the final boss.
Nope.
You don't have to know a damn thing. What else? What else do we want to say about Metroid? Super Metroid. Anything come to your mind?
It's super.
It is super. It is a game. Oh, you know,
it's super.
One of the first things, and I'd completely forgotten about this because it's been several months since I played the game. One of the first things that happens is you actually get like an opening sequence before like your game start menu. And other games have done this, but not quite to like the atmospheric extent that Super Metroid does. You like have like the whole opening sequence before you start your game, where it's like Nintendo presents 1994 Metroid 3, and they're trying real hard to be like creepy, and yeah, I mean it's pretty cool. It's like extra production value. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, why not?
Sure.
Yeah, rock on.
I don't know. I think that's
that pretty much covers it.
Yeah, it's a known quantity, Super Metroid. A lot of games have emulated it after it came out. Its own contemporaries on the Super Nintendo. A lot of independent games emulate it now, just duplicating that sort of style of gaining power-ups as you go and becoming stronger and able to explore more of the world of the game as you gain more power-ups. Do you have any particular favorite sort of Metroid-style games that are not Metroid anything come to mind? Like Guacamelee? It's a Metroid-style game.
God.
I mean, it is.
It is.
You give me that weird look.
It is. Guacamelee was okay.
Yeah. Cave Story, kind of a Metroid-style game. Boy and His Blob definitely more of a puzzle game.
Yeah, it is, but, you know, kind of that stylish.
Sure. Yeah, maybe.
It's a 2D side-scroller. That's really
That's
really it. Well, okay, I should... It popped my head.
Well, you know, Mario's a good Metroid game.
Mario's a great Metroid game.
Maybe we're kind of...
Oh, my God.
I think the well is drying up on the Super Metroid discussion, which is okay. So how are things in your life? Everything good?
Everything's good.
Everything's all right?
Yeah,
that's
good.
I'm pretty good, you know, playing some games. Kind of a short show, but I think next week is going to be a much longer show because there's a lot to talk about.
What's on the agenda, John?
Well, for next week, on the official show for March 2015... there is some news to talk about. We're probably going to be spending a lot of time on news specifically, and I mentioned this before in the mini show, the part where you weren't there, that Nintendo has decided to make mobile games.
Oh my God.
So that will probably be the big news that we spend some time discussing.
Who gives a fuck?
lots of people give a fuck, and, you know, huge surprise, people on the internet are mad about it. I'm not sure how I feel about it yet. I'm not like enraged. I'm not like ready to march.
I'm not gonna be like mad at him for doing it. I mean,
anyway,
what do you do?
Yeah, we can get into like some details about why I'm a little disturbed by it on the official show, and you know some of the particular reasons why some people are mad and why I don't think they should be super mad. I am just worried that, what if it makes them a whole lot of money? And what if they decide, like, we got mobile games. Maybe we don't need to do handhelds anymore or something like that.
Maybe we should come out with our own phone.
Oh, man.
You remember Sony doing that.
Did they?
They came out with a phone that it was like a phone.
Was it like a PlayStation
gaming
phone?
It was like a gaming phone.
Was it like a Sony Ericsson, or was it like a PlayStation phone?
I can't remember exactly, but it had like
I mean, it sounds about as successful as the PSP Go.
It had like a freaking D-pad and shit on it.
Huh. Like, was it like a Sidekick? Like one of those things back in the day?
I can't remember. It was so long ago.
I mean, I think like people could say the same thing about the PSP Go or the Vita. Like, yeah, who cares about that?
Might as well just add phone to them.
Sure. Okay, here's a question, and since we got time, might as well jump into it. As a person who plays a lot of PlayStation games,
yes.
Do you think Sony does another handheld after the Vita?
Oh, hell no.
Do you think this is the end?
Yes. At least, okay, I should rephrase that. I do not think it's the end. I think they're going to keep on trying.
But they shouldn't.
I think they shouldn't. just let it be. Just stop.
I think that's completely fair. I was actually surprised that
they came out with the Vita.
That they did, yeah. That they did the Vita.
I was surprised they came out with the Vita.
I mean, it's not like the PSP was.
I don't think the Vita's bad. It's just all those games, all those kind of people that they're marketing to are just gonna play the regular freaking console. They're not
right.
They're not handheld players.
And see, that's the thing is there's. The whole thing with like the PSP and the Vita was always now you can play console games wherever you want. Whereas I think a lot of the success of the Game Boy and the DS and all of the Nintendo handhelds has always been that there is that distinction between a console game and a handheld game. It's a different style, it's a different way of playing. Games for like Game Boys and DSs have traditionally just been designed with that sort of portability in mind and not just a scaled down to a smaller screen console game. Now, I think that you could argue that the 3DS has had a lot more console-style games as opposed
Majora's Mask.
It has Majora's Mask and Ocarina has Ocarina of Time. Sure. It also has Resident Evil Revelation, which is people have commented several times on different podcasts and websites and stuff that Revelations feels a lot more like a handheld game. I don't know what how they draw that distinction. I pop Revelations into my Wii U and it feels exactly like a console Resident Evil game. I mean, it's broken up into chapters. It's mission based, but they're long enough to where, like, it's not like Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, which is broken up into really short chapters, which makes it more ideal for portable play. But even like Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, it's in the spectrum of like a traditional Nintendo style handheld game and console game. I think it leans more toward the console side of things. Just because of, I mean, it might even be because it's like using 3D polygons. Maybe I'm just kind of biased toward like a 3D polygonal game being on consoles. Anyway, that's really neither here nor there. How do we want to close this out? Oh, we were talking about the official show. What we're going to be talking about. So we got that news. We got some new releases. We got lots of new releases to talk about. Going to be talking about Codename Steam quite a bit. And there's a couple of eShop games on both the Wii U and the 3DS that I'm going to be talking about. So, and then preview the month of April. And the big one there is going to be Xenoblade Chronicles 3D. So, coming out their new 3DS. I will not be buying it because I do not have a new 3DS. I'm okay with it because I've played a lot on the Wii. But yeah, it'll be a good opportunity to bring up one of the best games ever made. You heard me. Said it.
Yep. I'm not arguing with you.
How about you? What do you got? What do you got on your plate coming up?
What, game wise?
Yeah. What are you playing?
Right now I'm in between games.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm gonna do yet.
You can always take Majora's Mask.
I don't want to play that on a handheld.
Why not?
Because that's not a handheld game to me. That's a console game.
Well, sure. But what else are you doing?
When my tax refund comes in, I'm getting a, there's no Mega Evolve for Raichu, so I can't censor it. I guess it's just PS4.
Uh-huh.
So, you know,
Not a Wii U?
Yeah.
Alright. You can go ahead and go fuck yourself.
Ow. Stop right. There's a bunch of stuff on there I want to play.
Yeah.
The new Bloodborne looks really, really good.
Yeah.
That's not your style. No. That's my style.
It looks really, really good. Don't really give a fuck about that game at all. Like, Infamous, I don't give a fuck. The Order 1886, could not give less of a fuck. Don't care. However, like Xenoblade Chronicles X, the new Zelda, that's a game that's coming out.
What?
You could get some of that there, Hyrule Warriors. That's a game that you could play. Smash Brothers, Bayonetta 2? No? Not doing it for you? Alright. That's cool. Anyway.
Yeah.
I think that's the end of the show.
Yeah.
So, like we were talking about before, next week is the official show. Then we'll start up April with the your Nuzlocke. How's that going? You could play your Nuzlocke.
Painful, yeah.
Has anyone died?
Well, I'll wait for the actual show.
Okay, how far have you gotten?
Not very far.
Okay.
So till
try to get up to gym 5.
Trying to get in gym 5 by the next show. Got it. Yeah. Am I beating gym 5 or just getting to it?
Beat gym 5.
Beat gym 5.
Yeah, beat gym 5.
Gym 5. Gym 5.
Beat gym 5. Do that.
God, son of a whore.
But yeah, I actually do have to jump into that as well. I upgraded my 3DS SD card. Because I had an 8 GB in there and I ran out of room, so I upgraded to a 32. Got one for like $8 on Amazon or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I went through the process of getting all of my data on the 8 GB SD card onto my computer and then putting the 32 GB, copy pasting it over. And my Mac is, God, this thing's like 7 years old. It's going to be time to upgrade soon. So I had to do it on a like 14-year-old IBM ThinkPad. Took damn near 2 hours to first copy all the data onto the computer, and 2 more hours to copy it onto the 32-gigabyte SD card.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it was so crazy.
Those IBM ThinkPads.
However, that is less time than it takes people to transfer their data from their 3DS to their new 3DS. So I feel like that's a win. And I just let it sit overnight as it was downloading to the 32, and then just popped it into my 3DS. And for a minute, when I popped in the 32-gigabyte into my DS, I opened up the Street Pass Plaza thing, like the little game, I guess you could call it, where you collect like the puzzle pieces.
Let me guess, ask for an update.
it did not ask for an update this time, but you don't really use, I do like the Street Pass for your 2DS and like collect the puzzle pieces and stuff. So there are upwards of maybe 20 different puzzles, and when you street pass with someone, you have a chance of getting a new piece for the puzzles. And when you complete the puzzle, you don't get anything. It just like it shows you the picture, and then you can look at it in 3D if you really fucking feel like it, which I don't. I just like to collect the puzzle pieces because I'm psychotic. And when I put in the 32-gigabyte and I tried to open it up, for the first time I did it, it was like, data has been corrupted. Please visit this site and download the update. And when I was reading, it was like, oh, God, I've heard of this happening. I just lost all my puzzle pieces. And there are, right now, I think a total of like 1,500 puzzle pieces you have to collect. I say that like have to. You don't fucking have to. You probably shouldn't. This is a sickness, and I acknowledge that. So I was like reading, I was like, oh my God, I just lost everything. But then I was thinking to myself, I just lost everything. I'm free. I am never going to get to the point where I have 1,300, like I had 1,350.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I was like, I am never going to get to that point again. So why do I even bother? Like, I don't care anymore.
And then it like healed itself and you got them all back.
And then the next time I booted up my 3DS, I opened it up. I was free. I liberated myself. I opened up the Street Pass and it loaded up like immediately. It was like, oh yeah, here you are. Here's all your stuff. So now I'm back to collecting puzzle pieces. Like a big dumb idiot.
You only have like 100 and some left.
I only have like 140 to go now. But they keep on adding more puzzles. It's the problem. Like I had it complete. And then they're like, oh, by the way, here's 3 new Pikmin ones. Here's 2 Monster Hunter ones. Here's fucking Sonic Boom. Fuck you. You should not acknowledge that game exists. Why the fuck is there a Sonic Boom puzzle? Ugh. It's irritating. I forget why I brought up. Oh, I remember why I brought up. Because we were talking about your Nuzlocke. We're just all over the place.
John, you were. I think there's something wrong with you tonight.
This is what happens when I don't have notes. You laugh at me for making notes, but if we don't have notes, then we're just going
to
be fucking everywhere.
I think we need to
everywhere.
Designate one show that we don't have notes.
This is the show.
For you to
this
do
is
it.
The show. We talk about Super. We fumble around trying to talk about Super Metroid for 15 minutes. Then we're just like, fuck it. Everything else. PS4. Buy a Wii U. We're talking about your Nuzlocke.
Yes.
And that reminded me that I have a digital copy of Pokemon X, which I got through some promotion. I don't even remember what it was. I think it's like if you had like a 3DS that you'd registered and like 4 certain games that you also registered through Club Nintendo, they like gave you an option for you can get one of these other games for free. And it was like Super Mario 3D Land, Pokemon X, whatever. I had all of the games to get Pokemon X. So I was like, okay, I'll take a free version of Pokemon X. And my 8-gigabyte SD card wasn't enough to handle it. Like, I pretty much had to delete almost everything else in order to have a digital copy of Pokemon X. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I got Fire Emblem on there. I got all these eShop games on there that I want. So I was like, I have a copy of Pokemon Y. I have this copy of Pokemon X. If I ever upgrade my SD card, I'll download it. So I upgraded my SD card, and I remembered, hey, I got a copy of Pokemon X waiting for me. So I downloaded that. And that's really all I wanted to say.
There you
that's
go.
That's why we wanted this fucking like 5-minute tangent.
Snapchat puzzle crap.
Yeah, Snapchat. Anyway, so I started up a new round of that, which is fine. I don't know, like comparing it to the 5th generation, it just reminds me of why I like the 5th gen so much more than the 6th gen and how wrong Ryan is for liking the 6th gen the most. I don't, the issues, the main issues that I just have with the sixth generation, which I guess I'll get into more when we actually do talk about Pokemon, the Pokemon show, is that every single route that I've been on so far, and I just got out of Lumise City, the big city, I forget how you pronounce it. I just got out of there, and I'm crawling around in the grass and finding all these different Pokemon. I'm like, my Pokedex is at 30, and I'm really super early in the game. I have one badge. But every single like patch of grass is just like, all right, go ahead and walk through this grass, fight a couple dudes, get to the next town. There's nothing interesting going on in this world at all. Whereas in the fifth generation, it's like, okay, go into the next area. And like, hey, there's this thing, Team Plasma. You're just fucking kidnapping Pokemon. You have to go get them back. But at least it's some sort of veil over the basic structure to where it feels like something else is going on other than crawling around in the tall grass and beating up other people's monsters and kicking the shit out of preschoolers and stuff, which is something that you do in both versions. And in the fifth generation, they introduced the new opponent type preschooler, and they carried it over in the sixth generation, and you beat up these preschoolers' pets and you take their money.
Yep.
Which is hilarious. I wish I could fight only preschoolers. I mean, and it's not like they never have...
New Pokemon game. The gyms or just the top preschooler of various schools throughout
like
the country.
It's daycare.
And you're like just going through the country beating up on children.
Yeah. And if it's a Nuzlocke, you are killing their Pokemon. You are killing them. You are murdering them. And they always have like Mime Juniors and like unevolved first forms. So you're never netting any experience. They give you like $3. They never give you any sort of
cash.
Guess
what? You don't get chocolate milk for lunch. Bam!
You'll have to drink regular milk like a fucking rube. Oh, God. Where is this show gone?
Oh, my God.
I could loan you Bravely Default if you're looking for something to play on your 2DS.
I still have your... God, what is that? A really big name game. Shin Megami Tensei 4.
Oh, you have Mega 10-4?
I still have that.
You should play it.
I need to play that.
Sure. That's a game, you know.
I think it's, I just kind of like in a blah right now. Well,
get back into playing some JRPG. You should play.
Play something.
You know what? Actually helps me break out of those sort of funks is play something you've played a million times before.
I was trying to play Skyrim again.
Oh yeah.
I was trying to play Skyrim again.
How'd that work out?
Meh.
Yeah.
I may go back and do it because I love like making my stealthy guy walk into a room, kill everybody, and nobody knew I was there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot of fun.
Sure.
And, you know, maybe max out my pickpocketing and rob everybody in town.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can steal everything when you pickpocket somebody. And if you boost your stealth and your pickpocket high enough, eventually the town is just a bunch of naked people walking around.
Of course. Like it should be.
And that's just kind of funny.
That kind of game.
And that's just kind of funny.
Sometimes I find myself getting burnt out on certain games, although I've played a million times before. Like, if we weren't Nuzlocking... the fifth generation, I would probably be so burnt out of Pokemon right now, but Nuzlocking adds that like extra layer of tension and ways you have to think about it strategically. Like, I booted up my GBA because I had a copy of Fire Red in there. It's like, oh, Fire Red, let me see where I'm at in this game. I was just before the SS Anne, and I have a Charmeleon, I have a Pikachu, I have a Pidgeotto, and I have a Butterfree. Pretty standard stuff.
Yeah.
I was probably like going through the game like, oh, I'm feeling nostalgic. Let me try to put together like a really nostalgic team. But this was months ago that I started it. And as I'm like just kind of poking around in the game, I like went to a Pokemon Center, I bought some stuff. I was talking to some people around town. I got into a couple of random battles. And I just, look, as I'm going through it, I start thinking to myself, I don't want to go through this again. I don't want to like walk through the SS Anne again and have to like beat everyone in there and fight the rival battle and get cut and move on and teach cut to somebody so I can fight Lieutenant Surge and like search through all his stupid waste baskets to find the two stupid switches that are never in the same place twice and it's completely up to chance if like it's going to be in the direction to the left or the direction to the right. It's I started thinking about it and I'm having the same experience with X and Y where I'm like going through it and I'm like, I don't wanna crawl through another patch of grass and fight another guy who's got a fucking Bidoof or a Bunnelby.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, without that sort of like extra layer of Nuzlocke on top of it, like
Well, the reason why I'm playing Skyrim again is there's DLC I never got to that I purchased.
That's good.
There's a full-blown DLC I never touched in Skyrim. And I could jump in one of my older games, but that's the thing about Skyrim. It's so massive, I have no idea what I've done and what I haven't done. So I'm like, I can't really do that.
Yeah.
So I just started a new game. And this extra patch, this DLC, is like the big Dragonborn one. Like, there's new weapons and armor, and you get to fly around on fucking dragons like a motherfucker. But, you know.
Like you do.
Yeah.
I got it.
You know, it's cool stuff. I just never got around to it.
I got it.
So.
You can play Final Fantasy IX. There it is, right there.
I don't think I have a working PlayStation.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind. I've actually...
I'll have to purchase it on my PS3.
Oh, you just like a downloadable?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you can
it's totally available. It's $10.
All right, that's not bad. Maybe you can get like...
All 7, 8, and 9. All
right, don't ever get 8.
I actually still want to go back and...
Don't... We say that. We say that a lot.
But the reason being, it's a bottle of fantasy that I've put so much into and never completed.
Yeah,
have you ever beat 8?
No. Of course not.
Exactly.
It's terrible.
Exactly.
But I've never beaten 12 either. But you know, I get to the point where I just...
Well, for some reason, I can escape. Just because I played around that sewer and that was just hell on earth. Fuck that.
That was really early.
Yeah.
That was really early in 12.
Stupid sewer I couldn't get through.
I always tap out. Like, there's a part where you have to, like, walk around this town and there's this other character. General. Somebody. Doesn't fucking matter. You have to go around town and basically just, like, press O... Or press circle, and you'll like say like a line, General so-and-so is alive, and like have to build up his reputation. Like, oh my god, this is so fucking stupid. Why am I walking around this town just talking to random people? Sometimes it'll like boost his reputation. There's a meter. When you fill the meter, you're done. And sometimes you'll talk to people and it'll decrease the meter, and there's no way to tell the difference. Like, god damn it, game. God damn it, this is stupid. Your battle system isn't even fun enough to keep me addicted. My opinion on 12 is soured.
Yeah.
I had fucking 13. Who gives a shit? I don't remember the last time a Final Fantasy game was coming out that I was like, I give a shit about this.
13. I find very, very funny because I made it all the way to staring outside the final boss's room and I went, good enough. I didn't even fight him. I didn't even fight him once. I just said, I don't even give a fuck. I hope they all die.
It's like YouTube the ending or something.
I haven't even seen the ending. I put the controller down and walked away and said, I'm done with this crap.
Did you ever play 13-2 or Lightning Returns? Any desire to do that?
Why?
Just didn't care? Yeah.
Why?
I get it. I like Final Fantasy 15. Like, any interest in that at all? I mean, I can see it in your eyes. But you know what? I think I understand exactly why you hesitate. I mean, it's Final Fantasy, so immediately I'm like,
just give it a shot. No, it looks terrible. It looks terrible.
But then when you like go back, like I haven't liked a Final Fantasy game since 10.
Yeah.
We are like,
see, the Final Fantasy
10 years out.
The
from
last
me, like,
Final Fantasy that was an MMORPG actually looked pretty good.
14?
Yeah, I think it was 14.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually had some really interesting concepts behind it. And I wanted to try it. But luckily, I say this luckily, my computer shit, so I can't do it anyways. So I get to escape that hell.
Yeah, you get to...
I don't have to waste my money on this crap.
Yeah, it's like a monthly subscription, right?
Me being poor got saved. No, I don't think it is. I think you just buy the game.
Oh, really?
Maybe.
Well, that's pretty good, though.
I can't. Maybe it's monthly.
I'm pretty sure it's monthly. Okay. Well, now you've completely reversed.
I tried going back to World of Warcraft, but the new... World of Draenor is too much for my computer to handle. It's super laggy and I can't do it.
All right.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I miss playing on, just like a computer is like,
Trips Challenge.
No. Just like an RTS. Like, Command & Conquer.
I really hope somebody out there got that reference.
No one did.
Come on, Trips Challenge was wonderful.
I mean, I'm gonna keep on moving forward, and ignore this. Like, the last one that came out was StarCraft 2, which I liked.
I'm going home and see if I can download that.
StarCraft 2?
No, Trips Challenge.
God damn it.
It's been really long since I played that.
We're done. Anyway, tune in next week. It's the official show. Till next week, everybody.
Yeah, we're going to have Ryan Stiles.
We are not.
All right, so long. So long.
He probably wouldn't respond to my email.
I think you should try it. See how that goes.
Yeah, okay.
We'll read them on the air.
You guys can go fuck yourself.
he did accept my Miiverse friend request. So
after the show or before?
After the show.
Oh, wow.
After the show. Because remember at the end of the show, we talked about, like, hey, are we Miiverse friends? And we were like, no, I don't think we are. And like, all right. And I said, I'll send you a request. And then I said, I'll understand if you don't accept it. And I would have, but he did. He doesn't post on Miiverse a lot. So Ryan Stiles, if you're listening, post on Miiverse more. Because that's... I mean, like, a lot of people, like, talk to each other through
Twitter. Aren't listeners who did listen to that show think we're actually talking about Ryan Stiles?
No one knows who the fuck Ryan Stiles
is. It's the guy from Whose Line Is It Anyway?
The tall, skinny guy from Whose Line Is It on the Drew Carey Show.
I was watching the new ones. They're actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I remember. That's why you called him Ryan Stiles, because you had just been watching
it. Just started watching it again. It was all right. Come on. Yeah, this is America.
All right, till next week, everybody.
So long.